Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinara.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur.
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the spot!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoins, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la rondelle, c'est fini. Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they work the young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup.
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. 8.6 beer. Intense by nature. And Lacage. If the last time you went to the Lacage was when the Habs won the Cup, it's time you went back to Lacage. It's going to be sick.
Marinaro on this Thursday, January the 26th. It is 1 minute past 10 o'clock, and the Montreal Canadiens lose to the Detroit Red Wings by a score of 4-3 in overtime. And you know what? I've been saying this since the beginning of the year, that you give me an exciting hockey game, and I'm not going to complain. And everyone knows that. You know, I'd rather the Montreal Canadiens lose more games than not, because, you know, the lower they finish in the standings, the better the chance they have at getting the number one pick in the lottery. And I want Connor Bedard badly, and some want him more than others. And I want him very, very badly, to the point where, you know, I was hoping that they were going to lose that game with a couple of seconds left in regulation instead of the game going to overtime, because by going to overtime, the Montreal Canadiens pick up an extra point. Anyway, by now, you're probably sick of me talking about the same thing all the time, that I want the tank. It was an exciting game tonight at the Bell Center. Had so many great storylines, none more so than the fourth line. In particular, Raphael Harvey Pinard with the best game of his young NHL career. Absolutely fantastic for him. The Sick Podcast is brought to you in part by Lacage. If the last time you went to Lacage was when the Habs won the Cup, well, it's time you go back to Lacage. The menu will surprise you. Also brought to you by 8.6 Beer, right here. The beer. For those, see that? You see it? Who follow their instinct and live their passions in order to make their mark. And also brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. My buddy Sean Girard, becoming one of my very best friends in the whole world. And Mike Cinquino, if you're in transportation sales, customer service operations, HR, or admin, well, the good news is Energy Transportation Group is hiring for all positions. Without further ado, we're going to have ourselves a roundtable tonight. Joining me, let's bring him up. Let's go. Jared Book of Habs Eyes on the Prize. And look at this piece of work. Grant McCagg of Recruits and Recruits.ca wearing the Montreal Canadiens hoodie. Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. It's actually pretty nice. It's actually pretty nice, I have to tell you.
Yeah, I got that for my birthday last week.
Oh, happy belated. I didn't know it was your birthday last week. Oh, okay.
Same day as Kirby Doc and Madame Beliveau, as I discovered when Stu Cowan, he's great at the birthdays there.
Yeah. Was that on the weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, Saturday.
Okay. Very, very good.
Beat the Leafs for me on my birthday, so that was sweet.
I was there in attendance, and I watched it happen, as a matter of fact. Jared, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
Very, very good.
What do I
see there in the background? What do I see there? Give me the. Can you move the camera around? Can you give me a little bit of the tour of the room or what?
Yeah, well, there's some pucks over here. There's Danny Azubris' locker room plate. Got some baseballs and things over there, and then behind me over here. Sorry, I'm not sure which way the camera's going. Got some more pucks, and just a bunch of different stuff going on over there.
Danny. Hubris, where'd you get that?
I honestly got it at the Bell Center. I was in probably in high school at the time.
Okay.
They had a basket of discarded locker room plates, and I saw Zubris and I picked it up.
Okay, pretty cool. I thought you actually
it's not a great story, but it's
No, I thought the story actually was you went into the locker room and you stole it, you know?
Well, if I did that, I wouldn't be going back in the locker room.
Zubris played junior hockey up in Pembroke, where I played some of my minor hockey growing up. So there was always that connection there. I kind of always rooted for Danius there. Never really fulfilled his full potential, perhaps, but, you know, he was a pretty good NHLer.
No, a lot of people thought he was going to become a power forward in the National Hockey League. And he was, like you said, a good NHLer. He struggled with consistency, though, and he was never able to fulfill that power forward game, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, let's talk about another Montreal Canadian, not a former one, but a present one. What a great story this is. In just five NHL games, Raphael Harvey-Pinard has 3 goals. And I'm going to look it up here on my phone. I think it was Stu Cowan. It was my buddy Jeremy Filosa, as a matter of fact, I think. Let me see. I have it here. My buddy Jeremy Filosa says, listen to this. Dadonov, 39 games, 4 goals. Slavkovsky, 39 games, 4 goals. Gallagher, 25 games, 4 goals. Armia, 32 games, 3 goals. Evans, 43 games, 2 goals. Harvey Pinard, 5 games, 3 goals.
Not bad. I heard a stat on, I think he's played 9 total NHL games and he has 4 goals. And the last Hab to do that was Gallagher in their first 9 games as a Montreal Canadian. I thought that was a pretty, pretty cool stat. So you gotta, you know, that's great for Harvey Pinard. I mean, no one works harder. A great kid, just all about effort. And I mean, he's a consummate, and I've thought it for a couple of years, he's a consummate fourth line NHLer who's going to bring the energy every shift. Him and Pezzetta, and, you know, I was looking at that and saying, geez, Evans is going to have problems getting back his spot in the fourth, you know, in centering that fourth line if this keeps up, because Bill Zill's played fine too, you know. So it's, you know, Evans might be another one of those chips that's dangled at the trade deadline, I think.
Yeah. Jared, we could add Jonathan Drouin's name to the list. In 28 games this year, 0 goals. And once again, and Harvey Pinard, by the way, almost had the hat trick. The Canadians go on the power play with less than, what was it, a minute to go or whatever. It was just over a minute to go in period number 3. And I'm calling for Harvey Pinard on the power play. They don't put him, but they put him in the overtime. And they're looking for him, as a matter of fact. And on one occasion, he took a one-timer that Ville Husso just slid across and made a great save. But probably about 5 seconds before that one, Jared, he received a pass. I think it was from Doc. I'm not sure. But he receives a pass, and he's within like 2 feet of the goalie, right? And I wish he would have been more selfish on the play, and he would have pretended to pass but just turned around and shot, because I think the 5-hole was there. I'm not saying he was going to score, but he had such a hot hand that you never know. But, Jared, he almost had 3 tonight.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that the last that chance you talked about when he passed up the shot, that's where his other 2 goals came from, was really up and close. And you know, I don't want to keep comparing him to Brendan Gallagher, because it's been happening since he joined the Laval Rocket. But it's hard not to see the similarities. And I don't think he has the, you know, the skill or the goal scoring ability of a Brendan Gallagher. But you just see him, and every night he has the opportunity to get some goals, and he has the skill that makes it work every now and then. You saw a shorthanded goal tonight. You know, you can put him on a second power play, especially the state of the Canadians right now. He won't look out of place either. And I think that it's, you know, we talked about, you know, I remember beginning of the season, people were like, oh, there's no prospects in Laval. You look at the team now, Justin Barron is playing NHL minutes. Jesse Ullinen is playing NHL minutes. Raphael Harvey-Pinard is playing NHL minutes. Alex Belzil, you know, he's not really a prospect, but he's there as well. Rem Pitlick had some time in Laval as well. He's playing with Nick Suzuki. So I think that, you know, there's no top prospects necessarily in Laval, but I think this is showing what Jean-François Hull is doing, and the ability of these guys to come up and, you know, be better than some of the veterans who have been in the NHL all year.
Jared, I think you're right, but at the same time, and it's not a slight at Jeff Hool at all, because he received praise from Marty St. Louis about a week ago, and rightfully so. But, you know, it's easier, I think, to help develop and help guys that come up and probably play a fourth line role than it would be to develop guys and they come up and they end up playing on a first line or a second line. Right, Grant?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jared.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously they don't have those kind of guys in Laval right now. Just you get what you have. And obviously that's going to change maybe in the next couple of years. You know, they have Joshua Roy, potentially, you know, whether he goes in the NHL or AHL. So it's going to be interesting to see how Laval develops when these prospects get up there.
Grant, Joshua Roy playing on a line with Denis Gauthier's son.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying that young Gauthier there is probably the first player to be drafted that will be drafted this year out of the queue. Is that right?
I think so, yeah. I've got him ranked 17th overall. I noticed that Bob McKenzie had him, I think, 16 on his list.
Okay.
So, like, somewhere, expect him to go somewhere, you know, 15 to 20 in the draft. He's a kind of like a Harvey Pernard type as far as the work ethic goes. Just, you know, he goes 100% at all times. And I love his work ethic. But he's got, you know, middle line upside, second, third line, and he can play center too. So he's pretty versatile. And I think, you know, what was impressive with him too was that he proved when Roy was away at the World Juniors that he could produce without him. Because that was, you know, some of the people are saying that that's the only way he was getting his points was because he was playing with Josh. But
yeah.
He actually put up even better numbers than he had been playing with Josh the last month together. So he's showing that, and I talked to his coach, you know, who was part of the World Junior team, Stefan Julien, and he was saying, yeah, that he proved that he can score without Josh for sure. So
who knows, Grant? He might end up being the Canadiens' pick with Florida's pick in the draft. Oh. They already have one duo, a Slovak duo of Slavkovsky and Mishar going forward, and they might end up having Roy and Gauthier going forward.
No, that's right. No, he's right in that ballpark. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's heavily under consideration with the Florida pick.
Hey, Grant, I want to add something on Harvey Pernard. I mean, there's so many things I love about the kid, but, you know, obviously his work ethic, obviously his energy, obviously it's passion. It took close to 50 games for the Montreal Canadiens, but they finally seem to have an identity on their fourth line. Whether you think it's strong or not, there's an identity of a hardworking line that will get pucks in deep, will go in, will forecheck aggressively, will win battles, will play with energy. And that is the line, of course, of Raphael Harvey Pernard, Alex Belzile, and Michael Pezzetta. But what I love about him is here's a young man who came in and realized there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for me to show what I can do while other players are injured. Let me try and seize this opportunity. And he's seizing it. I mean, tonight could be the night, and I'm not saying he's not going to go back down, but tonight could be the night that Raphael Harvey Pernard became an NHLer for the most part, like with more regularity, right? If not full time.
I tweeted out about, like I said, you know, that second goal, it was a sweet one there, you know, that backhand up top. I said that was Harvey Pernard saying to Marty, you know, I'm not going back to Laval. You know, with that, I think what's the concern always was that he had to get fast enough to play in the NHL. You know, that was the knock, his skating, and it's improved. Like, you know, it's neat when you're listening to Dave Poulin on the broadcast and stuff saying, oh, you know, raving about his speed, which is always the knock, you know, on Harvey Pernard, but he's not fast, but. It, you know, a lot of it's effort. He just tries so hard that, you know, he may not be the fastest guy out there, but he's got the fastest heart, you know.
If you're watching on YouTube Live or Facebook Live or Twitter Live, you can share the video with your friends. You can share the link. You can like it. That'll make us pretty happy. Thank you very much if you do that. If you listen tomorrow on Google, Apple, or Spotify, you can leave us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate that. You know, in the last month, we had over 100,000 downloads on Apple Podcasts. That's pretty cool. We're very, very proud of that. Very, very proud of that. All right. So thank you so much, all of you, for all your support. Let's get back to the game. Jared, what do you think of Jake Allen's first start in quite some time coming back from injury?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a shaky start. Detroit got the early goal, but you know, by the end of the game, he was solid. He was Jake Allen.
I thought he should have had that one, by the way. Rasmussen shot.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's, you know, the first game back for goalies, and he didn't even, you know, have much practice time before. It's always hard to simulate traffic and bodies and things like that. You ask any goalie, you know, what's the difference between practice and a game, and they're going to say it's the traffic. And you know, I think it's normal. I think it's to be expected when you haven't played a game and as long as he has. And but you know, by the end of the game, you know, they drew out over 40 shots, and I think that he was what he needed to do. He gave the team a chance to win, and I think that's what you want to see from Allen and going forward. And you know, the trade deadline's coming up. There's a lot of different possibilities with this team and people that might interest other teams. And the goaltenders on the Canadiens have to be in that conversation, especially Allen, because of the play of Sam Montembeau.
Grant,
you like? Yeah, absolutely. I still think that they, you know, they look at him as the number one, but the way Montembeau's played in the last month, he, you know, for the first time in his career, and that goes back to junior, He looks like he might be able to be a starter in the NHL, and I think Jake Allen is. I mean, he's maybe not a top flight one, but he is. So, you know, they're both going to be valuable trading chips if a team's looking for insurance, especially if a team. I don't know if there's any injured goalies right now, but certainly if you know, if there's an injury or two to a contender over the next month. Montreal is going to be one of the first teams in line, I think, to get calls, because they're obviously, you know, they're going to be sellers, right? So teams will look at those two guys and see if maybe they can pry one of them out of Montreal.
Yeah, well, Grant, I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, there's no reason for the Canadiens to trade Montembeau, not to say that he's the next coming of Dominic Kasek, but he's still at a relatively young age. He's very, very inexpensive. He's a kid from here who just keeps on getting better. Like a year and a half ago, he didn't look like he was an NHL goalie. And now we're wondering, you know what, if he's a 1B or a 2A. And he's really, really progressed, probably more so than most other players on this team during that span. So if they do trade someone, it's Allen. But they didn't have plans on trading Allen in the offseason when they gave him a two-year extension. So now I think you just said it. If a team has a goalie that goes down with an injury, they're going to call the Montreal Canadiens. And if they want Jake Allen, Grant, what can the Canadiens get in return for him?
Well, I disagree with that, Tony. I think that Jake Allen's the proven goalie, right?
Yeah.
I think Montreal, you know, at the end of the day, would still rather keep Jake Allen than Montembeau. And then for all the reasons that you said why they would keep him, you know, the contract, this and that, well, that makes him – that also makes him, you know,
more attractive.
If a team comes up looking to asking for a second round draft pick for a guy that they picked up off on waivers, who a year from now could be an average goalie again, I look at that more so than I would at trading Jake Allen, unless the deal is first round draft pick, you know, plus, and then, you know, well, then you'd trade Jake Allen, but I still think that they consider him to be their goalie. You know,
I think, I think you're right. I think they do consider Allen to be more a number one than Montembeau, because Montembeau, the sample size, even though it's getting bigger, still isn't very big.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised by your answer, Grant. I'm not going to lie to you, because I think if they trade one of the two goalies, I cannot see them trading Montembeau over Jake Allen, even though I agree with your assessment that they probably still have him higher up on the totem pole, but I think they would keep Montembeau and they trade Jake Allen.
They want to be good next year, Tony. If they think Jake Allen's the better goalie, why would you trade him? They still need a goalie.
Yeah,
need a goalie next year.
That's a great point. But the big question is, take a look at the gap narrowing now. In 1 year from now, when Allen gets a year older compared to Montembeau getting a year older, I mean, can Montembeau not be
ahead? What's Alan, 30 years old?
I think he's 31.
I mean, prime for goalies is till you're 35, Tony. I don't think he's, you know, he's got 3 or 4 prime years left. Like a goalie stays in his prime till he's 35. Or older usually.
He hits 33 on August 7th.
Okay. Well, he's still got 2-3 prime years. You know, look at Craig Anderson. He's in his 40s now and he's still like Buffalo's goalie. You know, or sorry, not Buffalo, but like he's, you know, I'm not worried about him. I don't see Montembeau being, you know, a genuine starter for the Habs over the next 5 years, but I could see Allen being their guy for the next 3 years till, you know, I think they're going to probably draft a goalie in the first round this year. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
In the first round, they really, who do you have?
There's two goalies, Bjarnason and Hrabal, who are both very well could go in the first round, and perhaps Hrabal might even go top 20. And if Montreal identifies him as a genuine starter, I wouldn't be surprised if with the Florida pick that's who they target.
Wow.
They've got so many prospects, and they've got centers, they've got wingers, they've got defensemen. The biggest need right now, I think, for them is the next Carey Price or whatever. And I mean, last time they picked the goalie in the first round, it was Price, and it worked out okay. So if, you know, if I believe that if you're going to pick a goal in the top 20, it's usually a team that has more than one draft pick in the first round, and Montreal does. I just think that it's a perfect storm this year for them to be picking a goal in the first round.
Yeah, you were right about Anderson, by the way, when you talked about him with Buffalo. They've used three goalies this year. They've used him, they've used Lukanen, and they've used Comrie.
Right.
But he's the one who has the best goals against average, and he's the one who's got the best save percentage.
Jeremy,
before I get to you, though, Grant, I want to ask you, so you're convinced the Canadians with Florida's pick take a goalie?
No, I'm not. No, Tony. I'm just saying that it'll be under consideration.
I got it. And if it comes between a goalie and Quentin Musty, where are they going?
Oh, well.
Yeah, you don't know the whole Quentin Musty thing, do you?
No, I mean.
So it's an inside joke because your buddy Snake Boisvert is very, very high on Quentin Musty.
Oh, okay.
Here's DJ Demers going to see Musty play tomorrow. Cheers from Sudbury. A winger who's about 6'2" something, left winger. Yeah, Snake Boisvert is very high on him.
Well, Snake Boisvert was really, really high on Dominic Bach and had him top 8 in the draft year. And why don't you look up his NHL stats here, Tony?
I never even saw him play a game.
So that's a little shot. Simon will get a kick out of that.
Oh, my God. I have a feeling he's going to be on tomorrow to give you a shot back. My God. What are we doing here? We're taking shots on the sick podcast.
I love
Simon. Just to go to what Grant said, I think the Canadians definitely draft a goalie. You saw at the World Juniors, there's a couple of undrafted guys, a trio of them who might go second, third rounds as well. So I think the Canadians will definitely pick a goalie in this draft. I think that there's a gap in the organization, like Grant said. I don't know if they necessarily go first round. I think that Florida pick's going to be a little too high to grab a goalie. But if they make the playoffs, then I think that, it's definitely in the conversation, especially if someone in that range, you know, steps up in the second half of this year. But, I would be very surprised if the Canadians did not draft a goalie this year. And there's a good group of maybe underrated goalies that are a little bit older that really stepped up this year.
Bjarnason was great last night in the top prospects game.
Yeah, he was.
And he is a legitimate first round. Some scouts think he's better than Kosa, and Kosa went 15th overall. More than a couple of scouts have said to me that Hrabal, you know, he could be top fit. Like, you know, the good goalies, the legitimate goalies in the last few years usually typically go top 15. You look at Spencer Knight, Askarov, you know. If there's a guy that this kid's 6'6" and he's good, and if You know, we haven't seen it on public lists, but certainly I've got him around 20. And it doesn't really matter where, you know, if you got him ranked 22 or whatever. If that's, if you believe in that guy and that's your need and you got to fill it and it's at 17 or what have you, wouldn't be surprised if the Habs grab them. I also do think, though, that they may end up with a third first-round pick, you know. Like, they're going to be sellers at the draft here, or at the trade deadline here, and I wouldn't be surprised if they end up with three first-round picks, and then I can't see them not using one of them on one of those goalies.
There's reports of them refusing a first-round pick for Josh Anderson. Guys, I'd be surprised if they trade Anderson. I mean, not this year anyway. Agree?
Yeah, but I mean, first round and the prospect or something, that'd be pretty hard to pass up, you know, for somebody.
I agree.
Going to score 30 points. You know, he's on pace for 30 points this year. First round pick for somebody that, you know, is on pace for 30 points. You'd have to consider that pretty strongly.
You're right. And he also does make $5.5 million. And yeah, you know, you want to take some money off the cap as well. And maybe you can go out and you can put it towards a free agent or other players. Jared, all this talk of Pierre-Luc Dubois. And today I heard my buddy George Larac and Max Truman on BPM Sports 91.9 FM out of Montreal, Quebec's number one sports radio station. thanks, Grant. Has been since the end of May. They were talking about, and they were just throwing it out there, right? Would you trade Nick Suzuki for Pierre-Luc Dubois? And they both said no. They both said no. But George Larac said he would trade. Well, but Dubois is having a better year, right? But he is older. George Larac said he would trade Kirby Dach and maybe something else, or maybe just Kirby Dach straight up. So I'm going to get to that in a second. But before I do, I think we lost Grant here, okay? So we're going to try and get him back, all right? But before I do, Jared, did you know that Kirby Dach, did you know that he could fight that way?
No. that was a little bit surprising. But, how many years have the Canadians been looking for a big center who can stand up for himself and play the way Dach does? I mean, honestly, would I trade for Pierre-Luc Dubois? Would I trade Dach? I don't know. I mean, if you believe the rumors, if he really wants to come here, if he's really going to hit free agency, I would personally let it play out, whether he signs in Montreal or not. I don't think, you know, one way or the other, but I think, honestly, I'm riding Suzuki and Dach down the middle right now. I don't know
now. Jerry, you know what's really nice to see with Dach is that you know that it's working out here. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't quite working out, or if you had some doubts, but you know that as a winger on the first line, he's working out. As a second line center, he's working out. All those things you wanted to see him add to his game. The only thing that hasn't panned out is him in the face-off circle so far. But you know what? As he keeps on putting up points like this, he keeps on playing like this. Who cares? Who cares?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, like, there were question marks.
You know that this is a question that's coming up because it's the province of Quebec, right? It's another kid from here. But there are some who are saying, you see, Jonathan Drouin wanted to come back to play in La Belle Province. Didn't work out for him. And I don't think they're crazy about Pierre-Luc Dubois because of that, right? The pressure, some respond to it, some don't. And some are probably worried that Pierre-Luc Dubois won't respond to the pressure in Montreal.
I think that's a good point. And I'm a big proponent on that because I think you don't need to just get Quebec-born players and put them in Montreal. And, you know, this goes back to, you know, how many first rounds have we heard, oh, Montreal's going to should pick a Quebec-born player. You need the right player. You know, I go back to what Branch Rickey said when he signed Jackie Robinson. He's like, I don't just want, you know, an African-American player. I want the right one because you need the right attitude. And I think that you look at the players who have succeeded in Montreal, Philip Deneau is one. He had the right attitude. in Montreal. He was obviously, the expectations weren't as high as Drouin, they weren't as high as Dubois. It was a little bit different, but he thrived here because of that. You know, you look at guys like that, and I think that you need the right kind of player. And I'm not saying Pierre-Luc Dubois isn't, but you just can't put, you know, say, hey, get this Quebec player, put him in the lineup, put him in, you know, high expectations and expect him to succeed, because it doesn't work that way. It's a different kind of pressure. And you see it with Drouin. When he came in, the expectations were sky high. You know, they couldn't be higher. A lot of that was put on by, you know, management, by Marc Bergevin. A lot of that, you know, they put him at center in that first year, which was weird, but we're not going to get into that right now. Nah. But you also see the flip side with Drouin. And as soon as there's struggles, it's really bad. And you know, you mentioned the no goals with Drouin. I thought before he got injured, he was playing really good hockey.
Well, his game where he had three assists, that was his best game in a long time.
So three assists. There was the, you know, the almost goal when Anderson hit it at the line too. I mean, that might have even been the same game or a game after. He was playing really good hockey. And I think that the issue with Drouin is that he hasn't got going, just injuries. And I thought he was playing very well in a role that, you know, he was up and down in the lineup. I thought he was, you know, he was playing center again. Yeah. It was like how it started. And I think that he was playing okay hockey. And I think we have to adjust our expectations. You know, Jonathan Drouin is what he is. He's a middle six player at best right now. He's going to give you some scoring. He's going to, you know, be a good passer. He's not going to be that top line guy. He's not going to be that guy who's going to play with Caulfield and Suzuki. And for so many years, he was billed as that. And I think that we have to adjust that expectation.
Okay, Grant is back, but you just said something, Jared, where you said Jonathan Drouin is a middle six player and he's going to give you some scoring.
You know, offense. He's got, not he's got goal scoring. Offense, not goal scoring. Let me readjust that.
Okay, offense. Okay. Well, he's got 55 points in the last 106 games. So it's almost a point, just over a point every other game. Yeah, so it's an average of 40 points.
That's good for Montreal's middle lines. That's top of the line, Tony.
Yeah, but
look at Montreal's second and third lines over the last 5 years and tell me if any of them got more than 40 points.
I understand that, but given Drouin's, what I think we're talking about is, and Jared was saying that before he went down the injury was playing good hockey, and he was.
Yeah.
But given everything that's transpired here in the 6 years, and given that this year he played 28 games, he's hurt. Last year he played 34, hurt. The year before he played 44, hurt. The year before he played 27, hurt. I think it's safe to say that it's too little too late. He's not going to be back. Oh. I mean, let's be honest.
Let me go back and you know, just what, you know, has he been a disappointment? Absolutely. But if he's still disappointing you, that's on you. That's not on Jonathan Drouin anymore. He is what he is. No, absolutely. It's a disappointment. It was not a good trade. He was not put in a good position from the start. He's been a disappointment, but he is what he is now. You know, he's not that top player. And if he's still disappointing you at this point, 6 years in, that's not on anybody else, but your expectations being wrong, really. I'm not saying you, Tony, obviously. I'm just saying in general. But I mean, yeah, look, he's been a disappointment from when he was here. But I think that what he is now, people haven't adjusted that. They still think that he's going to be that top guy, and he's not. It's clear now. And it's unfortunate, but between the injuries and being put in Montreal and, you know, there's a lot of different factors there. I think that, you know, I think he's still an NHL player. I know he's not restricted free agent at the end of the year, but I think he'll end up somewhere. No doubt that he's a disappointment from when he was acquired.
Yeah. About a month ago, give or take about a month ago, right? I think we were talking about Alexis Lafreniere and, you know, we're talking about, you know, would the Rangers trade Lafreniere for Slafkovský? Would the Canadiens trade Slafkovský for Lafreniere? And at one point I asked you what you'd give up for Lafreniere. And you said you give up Kirby Dach, and there's a lot of reaction to it because Kirby has played really good hockey in the last month. Does a month change your opinion at all? Now we know that Kirby can not only play the wing on the first line, we also know that he can definitely do the job at center. We also know that he can take care of himself when he drops when he drops the gloves. He looked pretty good tonight, but would you still make that trade if it was on the table?
You really like these speculative trades, eh, Tony? It's never happening, you know, first of all. And I mean, I said it at the time too, you know, like they aren't trading Lafreniere. And yeah, I'd still not trade Lafreniere for Dach. Lafreniere's been really good the last month too, Tony.
Yeah, so has Cackle. Cackle's picked it up too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I still think Lafreniere is going to have a better career, but I don't think as strongly about it as I did a month ago. I mean, Kirby Dach was struggling a month ago, right?
Now he's
playing very well. So yeah, I feel more confident that Dach can be a top two center now for sure, especially with him starting to win a few. You're not going to stay a top two center. You're not going to play top two center minutes if you win less than 40% of your faceoffs. It's just not happening. And he wasn't for his career this season, last season, every season. Last few games, I don't know what his stats were today. I don't know if either of you saw.
38% in the circle. Yeah, 22 minutes and 1 second. He had one assist.
Okay.
And he had one shot on goal, and he had three blocked shots. Well,
he was 60% in his previous three games, which was encouraging. So I slipped back down to 38. But, I mean, if he can keep it, 45-plus, then I feel more comfortable about that. But, if he never does get good enough that you can trust him all the time in the faceoff circuit, you play him with another centerman, right? I mean, a lot of NHL players that play on the wing are converted centers, and that's what I think in the future Montreal is going to have that, as well, that they'll be, Becker, Kapanen, or what have you. Both those guys can play top three center roles in the NHL, but if you got Dach, Suzuki, one of those guys loses, right? So maybe he ends up on the wing with Dach down the road and takes key faceoffs where Dach has a weakness and stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel more comfortable about Dach being a top two center now, for sure. I still think Lafreniere, I mean, he's just starting his career, Tony, and give him a couple more years, and he's just going to keep getting better, and I think he'll be a first line winger for a lot of years in the NHL.
Jared, what do you think of Rem Pitlick breaking away with Kirby Dach right behind them? He keeps on looking back. I think he's wondering, is another player coming from the Detroit Red Wings? Where's Kirby exactly? Kirby was holding him up, you can tell. So at one point he was like, okay, but I know we're on a 2-on-0 here, but you're getting chased down, so I'm going to try and get in the other guy's way, and you're off to the races. Let's go. Rem Pitlick misses. The puck comes the other way. And Moritz Seider to Rasmussen. Rasmussen to Fabry. And the game winner. What a dramatic ending to the game, eh?
Yeah, it was wild. And even the last, few seconds of regulation, there was a couple of back and forth chances as well. But, Pitlick, I think, was trying to get the 2-on-0. He knew Dach was there. But when the Red Wing was coming back really strong, I think it might have been Seider at that point. It became clear it was a breakaway, and he just kind of went off and did it himself. Couldn't get the goal. It would have been, two goals in three games where he scored the overtime winner, because he got it in Toronto as well, against Toronto. Kind of unfortunate. And, when you have in overtime, 3-on-3, if you miss a chance, an odd man rush, it's coming back the other way. And you better hope that your goalie is there as well. So That's what 3-on-3 does. It's continuous 2-on-1s going one way or the other.
Hey, yeah. Grant, do you remember where you had Moritz Seider on your mock draft where you had him?
I had him 8th overall.
You had him.
I was one of the few that had him top 10. I think most public scouting lists had him like 15, 20, somewhere in there. But, I had him top 10. I really liked him, and I you know, you had to project, right? Because he's playing in the DEL, and you didn't get to see him a lot other than just on video and stuff, but you could see the potential of that kid for sure.
Grant, I don't know if you heard the same. You probably did. I heard the Canadians loved them that year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Trevor loved them. You know, one of the reasons I probably had him top 10, because I knew Trevor liked them, you know. All the scouts that I deal with thought he was a top 10 guy. It was just a public list that, you know, and it happens often enough where they don't know what the NHL teams think of a guy. And that was one example where he was being underrated by what you saw in public lists.
Jared, Michael Pezzetta. At the beginning of the year, a lot of people looked at him and said, all right, he could be a 12, he could be a 13, he could be a 14. He's not an everyday NHLer. You could put him in maybe every, you know, he could play one in every three. Is he an everyday NHLer as an energy guy, like being your 12th forward on a team? Or do you still see him as a guy who could be out of the lineup every now and then?
I don't think he's a top 12 forward on a playoff team. I just don't. That's nothing against Pezzetta. I think that, you know, him becoming an NHLer is amazing on its own. I mean, you look at his time in Laval, and, you know, he was a healthy scratch under Joel Bouchard for a lot of games. And he just worked and kept working and kept working. But no, I don't think that he's a top 12 forward on a playoff team. I think that on merit on this Canadiens team, if you look at the veterans, and there's some veterans who, you know, all things being equal, shouldn't maybe not be in the lineup. Maybe he's a top 12 on this team, but on a contending team, I don't think he'd be in your top 12, at least not now. That's not to say he's bad. I just think that there's better players out there. I mean, obviously you can win with a guy like Pezzetta there if your top nine is a little bit better, but on a situation where Montreal is right now, I think if you look at their lineup right now with the emergence of guys like Ullinen and Harvey Pinard, if they were healthy right now, I don't think he'd be in the top 12 forwards right now on this Montreal team.
Guys, if the fourth line played well tonight, we're talking about Pezzetta, we're talking about Belzile, we're talking about Harvey Pinard. You know, the line totaled 7 points in tonight's hockey game with Harvey Pinard getting a couple of goals. If we take a look at some players who struggled tonight, I thought Chris Weidman was laboring. Like, I thought he was in real big trouble. He didn't look good on that first goal. On the second goal that the Red Wings score, he was pressed. He put the puck over the glass. He was called for a penalty. Then they score the second goal. But all night long, I thought Weidman, like, just kind of looked out of place compared to every other defenseman the Canadians have. Grant?
Is that for me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's the seventh, eighth, or ninth guy, so I don't think they're going to lose too much sleep over that. You know, I think what you might see is, well, as soon as they get a healthy forward, they'll be, you aren't going to see Weidman. They won't be dressing seven defensemen, that's for sure. It's out of necessity because of the injuries more than anything right now.
Yeah. It's worked out pretty well, though, the 11-7 so far. And sure. I get it is an emergency thing, but.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't quite understand is they are really taxing Nick Suzuki. I mean, it's a lost season. Why is he playing as much as he's playing? And let me bring it up here if I can. Nick Suzuki in tonight's game, 24 minutes and 36 seconds. He had the second most ice time behind Michael Matheson, who played 26:39. Suzuki had the second most ice time for the Canadians. He had, I believe, he had the third most ice time in the game. Was Michael Matheson was leading at 26 minutes.
Sider.
And 39 seconds. Moritz Seider was number two at 25:45. And Nick Suzuki played 24:36. Way more than any forward that played in this game. And I got to ask you guys, why?
Dvorak got hurt, don't forget, Tony.
Yes, you're right. Dvorak left at one point.
And, I mean, they only had, you know, like Belzil, Suzuki and Doc, you know, really. Like, they're missing a lot of centers, you know. Monahan's out. Dvorak was out. Evans out. Like, you know. So it was just, I think it was, you know.
Because it's easier to double shift the centers.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, plus, you know, you only had three centers, really, you know. So, you know, I don't know how much Belzil played, but I bet you that was the most he's ever played as an NHLer, his ice time tonight.
Yeah, Belzil played 12:35.
Yeah, well, I bet you that he's never played that before, you know, which is kind of cool.
Two assists in the hockey game. And, yeah. And it would have been nice. It would have been nice to see Arvi Pernard get a hat trick, but it also would have been nice to see him get a goal. Would have been nice to see Joe Valeno get a goal too, guys. He got robbed by Jake Allen. Like the poor kid just looked in the air and he's like, "Oh my god!" Like he thought he had a goal in front of family and friends, and it wasn't meant to be. Eh?
Do you remember when you had me on early in the year when he was ranked top 10 in the draft? And said, "The Habs have to take this guy."
I remember that. 10. I remember that.
Yeah, and I said, wait, Tony, you know, long season. It's November. I know he's an Italian from, you know, Montreal, but we got to, you know, pump the brakes a bit here and we'll see.
You were right. B, I don't think Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who was taken third, is that much better than Joe Valeno, who's number 30.
Oh, yeah?
Well,
we'll see.
Well, I mean, the point.
Joe Valeno's not playing a top three center role in on a contender like Jesperi is, but
And Jesperi playing on a top three role on a contender has 16 points.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's not all about the points. Just like you were saying, Dubois is better than Suzuki this year. Why is that, Tony? Because he has more points. Like I was
saying it from a production standpoint. Well, yes.
Okay. It's not all about production. You know that.
True. It's not all about, it's not all about production. You're right.
No, you know, Jesperi's playing a very good two-way game. He's not, you know, and yeah, he's still not getting the points, but I watched a few Carolina games this year and he's a good NHLer. And Joe's not bad either. You're right.
No, but
as it's turned out,
Grant, I agree with you. He's a good NHLer.
Yeah.
You know, when you draft at number three overall, he's supposed to be a lot better than a good NHLer.
You know, Barrett Hayton was drafted fifth overall, and Philip Zadina was drafted sixth overall. I mean, you know, it wasn't a banner draft. It would just one of those years.
Brady Tkachuk was drafted fourth. I see.
Right, and we heard that, for 5 years on your with. We've heard that with you and Norman Flynn for 5 years on TSN. On TSN.
Grant, if I can, now that you're saying this, I mean, we've heard you say how great Jesperi Kotkaniemi is for that time.
Well, no, I never did say he was great. I just said give him time, and you still got to give him time. He's 22 years old.
Yeah, true enough. We'll give him time, but you know, you do bring up a lot of stats for Kotkaniemi when they're complimentary in the supporters' case, but when they don't,
yes,
you tend to not look at them. I mean, so you're right.
Yeah,
Zadina hasn't panned out to expectation.
No,
Barrett Hayton hasn't panned out to expectation either.
That's right.
But Brady Tkachuk,
it happens. It happens, Tony.
It happens all the time. It happened with Benoit Pouliot. It happened with Jesse Puljujärvi. Hey, it even happened with Neil Yakupov, who was drafted first overall. Patrick Steffen, Alexander Daigle. List goes on and on.
Let me ask you this.
Just hold on. Just Grant, please don't block me.
Yeah, it's all good, Tony.
I have a question for either one of you, or both of you. If Brady Tkachuk was drafted by Montreal, would he be the Brady Tkachuk he is today?
Maybe not.
I think that's a bigger question.
And they wouldn't have been drafting Jiří Slavkovský last year either. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of permutations that you don't, you know.
Of course.
They may not have you know, they'd have made the playoffs and not picked Gooley and Caulfield as well. So,
you're right.
So, you know, things happen for a reason. Yeah. And, you know, got to get over the Kotkaniemi pick. I was wrong, you know, and I admit it, that Brady Tkachuk's a better hockey player. But, you know, every team has those misses. I mean, I could, you know, Tampa Bay even, like, you know, when they were, they talked about how great Steve Yzerman was. Well, they picked Brett Connolly top six, Slater Cuckoo top 10. I mean, I can name, you know, they had three or four guys that Cal Foote 13th overall, you know, Montreal hasn't had three guys picked in the top 15 that didn't pan out at all. They had one guy, but we always talk about him, you know, like Sergachev was a great pick. Gooley was a great pick.
Sergachev was a great pick. McAvoy would have been a better pick. No?
Well, sure, Tony. You know, every draft there's a guy like, you know.
I agree with you. Hey, listen, Sergachev
would go top five if you did a redraft or top six.
Yeah, so, I think Sergachev was a great pick. I agree with you. I just
and McAvoy would be top three. You're right.
McAvoy ended up being the best defenseman in that draft. Olli Juolevi, Vancouver picked Olli Juolevi at fifth overall.
Yeah, that's right.
It clearly hasn't worked out at all. Like, no,
you say, oh, Boston scouts must be geniuses. Well, 2 years before that, they picked, 13, 14, 15. They picked Zboril.
Sinishin.
DeBrusk. They could have had Barzal, Shabbat.
Connor. Kyle Connor.
Every team, it's just, you know, like there's not one super scout in the entire league. I do intend on writing a book about scouting at some point, and I already started a chapter, and it said there's no super scouts. You know, Dave Conte at one point was thought, you know, oh, he picked Elias, he picked this guy, you know, he's a super scout. Well, then he had 10 years in a row where every single first round pick they picked was a bust. You know, Barry Fraser in Edmonton when he picked Coffey and Messier and Anderson and all those guys. Oh, best scout there ever was. They had 10 straight busts in a year with their first pick with Barry Fraser. You know, it's just picking 17-year-olds and it's such a crapshoot. And every team is going to have guys that boom and guys that bust. And that's part of the fun of it is that, you know, there's so much up in the air, you know, and that's why I love the draft, the uncertainty. The whole thing.
The last thing I would want to be would be an amateur scout. I mean, I think it's the hardest job in hockey, man. Oh. I think it's so hard.
Yeah.
You know, and you, I think you put it well when you talked about the Bruins missing out on 13, 14, 15. They could have had three studs, right?
Yeah.
But you know, the Bruins, they picked Kessel at five and they picked Lucic at 50. And they picked Pasternak at 25, and they picked Marchand at 71. Like in turn, they had and Bergeron at 45. They also had some great picks. So you win, you lose some, you win some, you win some, you lose some. I mean, we talked about Trevor. Kotkaniemi at three was obviously not a good pick. Sergachev at nine was a very good pick.
Yeah.
You know, you win some, you lose some.
Gooley, you know, Gooley, Caulfield, like he ended it off pretty good there with, you know, his for a guy that had a reputation for not being able to draft in the first round, Gooley and Caulfield and Logan Mayhew.
You're right. They're three great picks.
Yeah.
They're three great picks where they were. I mean, Gooley at 16, Caulfield at 15, and Mayhew, I think, at what, 31, I think, or 32?
Yeah.
But, they're great picks, 100%. Okay. On that note, it was a good game tonight. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
And then, like you said off the top, that's what you want. you don't want these, you know, 6-2 losses. Whatever those games were against, you know, Florida. That you don't want that. that's we had a lot of that last season, watching games where it was over in the first 10 minutes. And this team is better than they probably should be in the standings, honestly. But they are where they are, and now the losses help them more than wins do.
I think Al Murray's pretty good. Grant, no?
Yeah, pretty good scout. He picked Cal Foot 13th overall.
Yeah.
You know, I know. Mitchell Stevens was, 33 or something. He can't even score in Laval now, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back through their, they haven't had that many first-round picks, high picks that, you know, that have been great in the last 6-7 years.
Not first round picks. No, not first round picks. You're right. But, you know,
but yeah, he's a solid scout.
Kucherov was a great pick. Palat was a great pick. Killorn was a very good pick.
Point.
Braden Point was obviously an awesome pick. Anthony Cirelli, I thought, was a really good pick.
Vasilevskiy
was a great pick.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were to, you know, ask me who has been one of, you know, if you were to rank scouts or whatever, Al would be in my top five at this point.
Really? Oh, so listen, give me your top five right now, today, January 26th. Who's your top five scouts?
Oh, I'd have to think about that, Tony.
Yeah. Håkan Andersson?
Maybe.
Yeah. And then again, most of his picks, when we're talking about the Swedes, were players that were drafted 5th, 6th, 7th round. And if he wasn't sure about those players, why wouldn't he have picked them in the first or second round?
Well, no, there's that point too, you know. How much of a genius are you to have passed on somebody 6 times and then luck out with them, you know? Yeah.
Hey, guys, have a great night. I really enjoyed this roundtable. Grant McCagg of, you know, former scout with the Montreal Canadiens, wearing the Montreal Canadiens hoodie there. So look at it. He's still a supporter. And, you know, support him and his publication. It's an independent scouting service. He's got a lot of one-on-one interviews. He's got a lot of insight. Recruits.ca. The subscription is like, it's a joke of a very, very inexpensive price. What is it again, Grant?
Oh, it's like $10 for a HAB subscription and $30 to get the draft guide and HABs coverage for a year. So
it's harder to find a better bang for your buck. Jared Book of Eyes on the Prize. I read something on Twitter before we let you go about Eyes on the Prize. Are they, what's going on with the website?
So we're getting defunded by our parent company as of end of February. So, but we're not planning on going anywhere. We're in looking at transition things right now, but we expect that March 1st we'll have the same things. It might not be the same website, but we're planning on keep on going. But yeah, it's going to change a little bit, but a little bit of a panic when we found out on last Friday.
Wow,
but
yeah.
We're looking at a transition. We have. If anybody wants to support us, we have a Patreon set up. We can go to the website and check that out because we don't know what's going to happen starting March 1st. But we're planning on having the same coverage we always did, and we'll let everyone know once we know.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate your time, man. See you, Grant. Thanks, talk to you guys soon.
Nice meeting you, Jared.
Oh, nice meeting you guys. First time you guys met or what? Really?
Yeah.
First time.
All right, so maybe you guys can text each other after, exchange information, stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Grant, you could tell Jared, oh, man, I hate being on with that Tony, man. He just gets to me.
No, that'd be a total lie. Tony, I love it.
I have fun talking to you too, bud. Have a good night, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
You too.
All right, there you have it. Grant McCagg of recruits.ca and Jared Book of Habs Eyes on the Prize. All right, okay. Why don't we do this? We're going to open up the phone lines at 1-888-585-SICK, 1-888-585-7425. And we're also going to get to some messages. Sammy Cavallaro at Master Control, open up the phone lines right now. Let's see who wants to talk to Marinaro. I'll take a call or two tonight. Why not? 1-888-585-7425. It's now time for You Called.
You Called. You Called. Presented by Playground.
You Called is brought to you by Playground, your premier gaming destination located just over the Mercier Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. It is Playground. 1-888-585-7425. It's a toll-free number, absolutely free. Pick up your mobile or pick up your home phone and give me a call. Weigh in. I'm going to get to you right now. I know Sammy and Aniello and Juliana, they're all standing by and by the phone. So if you call, they'll pick up that phone and they'll patch you into me. And we're going to have a nice chat. You want to bring up some questions in the meantime? Let's go for it. Hey, Tony, Tony here. Big fan. Quick question. Before I go to bed and hear the podcast at 5 a.m. on my way to work, with the Dak fight tonight, could we say it's the start of the big bad Habs era? Well, Kirby Doc can obviously defend himself. We know that Arbor Jacki likes to throw them. Michael Pezzetta can defend himself. Joel Edmondson can defend himself. Josh Anderson can defend himself, but I still don't think they're the bad Habs yet, you know? Speaking of you going to bed, speaking of bed, this is the first time I'm wearing these for the podcast. I'm even shy to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's going to pop up somewhere tomorrow, but look at these, huh? What do you think, huh? Look at that. My God. They're so comfy. It's unbelievable. Where are we going? Hello. Hello. Mohammed.
How are you, Tony?
Good. How are you, Mohammed?
I'm good. I'm amazing.
What's going on, my man?
Not much. I just have a question for you, Tony.
Sure.
So when people say tanking is a bad culture, all this, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, I have a question. Would you be willing to put $20 on a bet if Kent Hughes was the GM of Toronto or Edmonton and drafted first of all, they would have a cup by now?
If Kent Hughes was the GM of Toronto or Edmonton?
Yeah, and they got either McDavid or Matthews. Would they have a cup by now?
Would they have a cup by now?
Yeah.
Well, so you're saying basically would he have done better than the GMs that they've had there in Edmonton and Toronto, right? Well, yeah. It's a small sample size for Kent Hughes as a GM, right? He's been on the job for 1 year. So, I mean, I think he's a very good general manager. Would they have a cup by now? I don't know. They've been two very exciting organizations to watch, though, no?
Yeah. Absolutely, but I should add Jeff Gordon as well. People are saying, oh, don't tank, it's bad for the culture, but, you know, you have a chance at Connor Bedard, you might as well, no?
Yes, it's just that players are not going to tank, but look at Chicago. Chicago's tanking. You know how they're tanking? The players are still trying very hard, but the team's not very good. They gave away Doc for nothing, and they gave away DeBrincat for nothing, and now they're going to end up trading Kane and or Taves. So without tanking... They're tanking. There's different ways you can tank. A coach does not want to lose games. Players do not want to lose games. But if a general manager empties the cupboard, the team's not going to win a lot of games.
Yep.
I would think it's an interesting question you asked. But I think only time will tell because I think maybe Edmonton might win a cup anyway. And I think Toronto might win a cup anyway. Or maybe neither of them do. Maybe one of them does. Maybe Kent Hughes goes on to do terrific things with the Canadians.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would bet McDavid's going to win a cup.
I hope so. I want to see the best players win cups. Could you imagine if Connor McDavid, having the career that he's having, doesn't win a Stanley Cup? And that's why I'm happy that Nathan MacKinnon won his cup last year. I'm happy that Ovechkin won his cup. I'm happy that Patrick Kane won his cup. I'm happy Jonathan Toews won his cup. I'm happy Patrice Bergeron won his cup. I'm happy Sidney Crosby won his cup. I'm happy Malkin won his cup. Great players, they deserve to win the Stanley Cup. And I hope McDavid wins the cup 1 year. I really do. Thanks so much for the phone call. Sounds like a good guy to me. Mohammed. All right. It's 11:04. And I think that that's the way we can end it. This way, we keep you wanting more, right? We keep you wanting more. Once again, hit the like button, share the video with your friends. Tell your friends about it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Leave us a 5-star review on Google, Apple, or Spotify. We really appreciate it. If you're watching once again on YouTube or Facebook, you comment sick and hit the like button. I am Marinaro. I'm Tony Marinaro. I'm Marinaro. Tell your friends about it. Say the podcast is absolutely sick. Monday to Friday at 10 p.m. on YouTube Live, Twitter Live, and Facebook Live. He's Marinaro. I'm Marinaro. A demain. Ciao. Buonanotte. Bye-bye.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group, driven to be different. 8.6, intense by nature, and La Cage. If the last time you went to La Cage was when the Habs won the cup, it's time you went back to La Cage. The menu will surprise you.